Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the way you work in our lives. We thank you for opening doors and closing them. And Father, we thank you that you have kept your promise that you would be by each one of us all the way to the end. And Father, as David Marsala shares with us today the beautiful things you have done in his life, as we listen, may we also see the beautiful things you have done in each one of our lives. And may we all together give you the glory and the praise for your goodness. And we thank you for the promise of your Holy Spirit, who gives us comfort, strength, and peace in our moment of need. And we ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm so glad that the few or the many have decided to stay. I hope that the Lord will bless you this afternoon. I know that I'm blessed, and I don't say that boastfully. I'm just saying that God had a purpose, and Satan had his purpose, but God told Satan, he's mine. And I praise the Lord for that. I'm going to be sharing with you today a little bit in song and hopefully more in testimony of some of the things that have gone down in my life and have brought me to this point, and hopefully you will be blessed. We're going to start out this afternoon's program where we all get to participate, and that is, if you'll take your hymnal and turn to page, I believe it is 143. 143. Have you ever listened or read the words to the song Silent Night, Holy Night? You know, I've sang this song since I was knee-high to a grasshopper as a child growing up, and I never really looked at the words. The words really say something other than just being words to a piece of music. And I'm going to sing this, and I want you, if you feel like singing along with it, I want you to sing along, because we're going to do all four stanzas. So there's room in there for you to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. So I'd like to start out with Silent Night, Holy Night. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child. Holy infant, so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly silent night, holy night, darkness flies, all is light, shepherds hear the angels sing. Hallelujah, Hail to the King, Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born. Silent night, holy night, Son of God's love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face, with the dawn of redeeming grace, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. Silent night, holy night, wondrous star, led the light with the angels, let us see. Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born. You know, aren't you thankful that Christ the Savior is born? I am so thankful for that. Some of you know me here at the Fallbrook Church. This used to be my church. I can't believe I'm saying this. Over 17 years ago. It's been 17 years ago since my father went to sleep in the Lord. 17 years. This last October. And prior to that, I'd been attending here for many years. And now I live in the greater Sacramento area. And I attend the Southgate Seventh-day Adventist Church in South Sacramento, whereas I am an elder there. I am assistant head deacon. I am also head of security. And I also am the custodian. So I wear many hats all the time. But you know what? It's all for the Lord, because for without Jesus Christ, I would not be here today. And you know, when I think about my life, and the pastor mentioned that there are more than a few people in here probably have some of the same testimonies that I've gone through, but yet we're all different. And I'm here today to share with you what Jesus is doing in my life and what he has been doing, and I expect him to do it until he decides my time is up and he's finished using me, and then he'll do whatever he sees best. And that's, you know what? That's okay with me. It's absolutely okay with me. Because every day that I've had since I was supposed to have been dead 8 months ago, so you figure 8 months passed, I should have been in the ground and very much decaying by now, I would suppose, back to the earth, ash to ash and dust to dust. But God came in at the very last moment, and he touched my body, and he removed stage 4 cancer from not only my throat, in my head, but also it had metastasized into three major areas in both lungs. So every day that I wake up, it's like, Lord, what do you want me to do today? And let me tell you something, brothers and sisters, when you ask God to use you and you ask him to say, look, Lord, if you tell me to go, I'm not going to be like Jonah and go the opposite direction. I don't want to spend time in the belly of the well. But if you're willing to go, you better be ready to have your safety belt strapped on, not just the single harness, but I'm talking a 5-point racing harness, because the Lord has work for you to do. Time is short. So I'd like to sing this song for you, and it is, I believe it is Going Home. Let me just double check the... See, this is what the Lord does. He gives me all these notes that I write down. How big is God? How big is God? God is so big that my words can't even begin to express to you how big he really is. Listen to the words of this song. Though men may strive to go beyond the reef of space, to go beyond the distant glimmering stars, this world's a room so small within my Master's house. The open sky's but a portion of his yard. As winter's chill may cause the tiny seed to fall and lie asleep till waked by summer's rain, the heart grown cold will warm and grow with life anew. The Master's touch will bring the glow again. How big is God? How big and wide his vast domain to try to tell? These lips can only start. God is very big, and I'm looking forward to that day when he comes, whether I'm alive or whether I'm in the grave, and my name will be called forth if I'm in the grave, and I will meet my master in the clouds in the sky to be with him forevermore in a perfect body with no pain, no degenerative disc disease, no arthritis, no cancer. It doesn't matter, brothers and sisters, what you have. It's gone. Because Jesus has promised us a brand new body. And the only thing we're going to be taking with us to heaven is what? Our character. So, it is so important that we spend time to get to know our Savior. And let me just share a little bit about my cancer journey. It started for me in 2012. I was living in the Bay Area, and I had my own company. And like most individuals that have their own company, you're not working 8 hours a day. You're not working 10 hours a day. You're not working 12 hours a day. Most of the time, you're working until you can't work anymore. And then you go home, and you try to get some kip, sleep. And then you get up early in the morning, you start it all over again. And you do that 6 days a week. Because it's just required. It's not like you have a big financial backing. You're your own private company. And I'd been working extremely hard, and I was married at the time, and I was taking very good care of myself, and my wife was taking good care of me. And I'd gone to bed, and I looked perfectly normal. And I woke up that morning. I went into the bathroom to shave. And I don't know about the rest of you, but, you know, you don't look your best the first thing in the morning when you get up after you've slept all night and your hair is a mess and everything else like that. So I looked at myself and something caught my attention. On the side of my neck, I had a lump the size of a little larger than a golf ball sticking out on my side of my right neck. I'm going, this doesn't look right. Maybe it's a plugged follicle. No, that doesn't sound right, David. No. So I went to my wife and I said, "Hey, honey, check this out." She looked at it and she goes, "That doesn't look too good. I think you should go to the doctor." I didn't want to go to the doctor. I'm one of these people, I don't like doctors. I don't even like going to the hospitals. So I went to the doctor. He takes a look at it and he fills it. And says, "Excuse me," gets another colleague, and they come in, they look at it, and they do some more testing. He says, "Hey, listen, David, nothing to worry about, but I want you to go directly from here over to the hospital. We have a procedure scheduled for you immediately." And I'm like, "Well, wait a minute. You said there was nothing to worry about. Why are you sending me over to the hospital?" He said, "Well, just to make sure everything's where it's supposed to be." I said, "Okay." So I got in my vehicle, and I drove over to the hospital, and they put me down with light sedation, and they did a biopsy on it. Now, while I was out, pathology done what they do and tried to identify what it was. And first it came back as being it was nothing. And then this was all going on while I was asleep. I was told this later on by the doctors. And then a second report came up saying, "No, it's cancer." And then there was a third report that came up, and it said it's a cancer that they've never seen before, a flesh-eating type cancer. And the last reported case of this particular type of cancer was back in 1957, and they only had one case to refer to. So they were kind of flying blind. So whenever you've gotten a diagnosis of the big C word, it has a way of changing your perspective on things, doesn't it? Well, make a long story short there, I ended up going, and they scheduled me for immediate surgery, and they went in, and they took out the tumor. and they took out a bunch of my lymph nodes in my neck until they got to what they call clean tissue. And they said, you know what? You look so good inside. We got this in time. Your life is going to be just fine. Go on and live your life. Of course, I had to recover from the surgery and everything else like that. So I continued on. Didn't change my lifestyle. Remember that. I did not change my lifestyle. Kept working real hard. Nothing wrong with hard work, brothers and sisters. Nothing wrong with hard work. But if you work so hard that you're breaking down your body so that the body doesn't have a chance for it to heal itself, then it's not a good thing. God was trying to get my attention, but you see, I'm kind of a hard-headed, well, I've been called a lot of things by my family. Stubborn, hard-headed, a testadura, that's an Italian term. Anyway, from 2012 to 2015, the only thing that I decided to do was I'm going to treat this cancer that they say that I have but I don't have, which I quite don't understand. I'm going to do it holistically because they wanted me to immediately start with chemo and radiation and all the other fun things. And I watched my father die from cancer. And he was a non-smoker, and he died of metastatic lung cancer. And it wasn't until he had done his chemotherapy that that's what I believe took him out of the game. So I was really against anything other than holistic in God. So for 3 years, I fought this disease. And I would go in every few months, and they'd do a PET scan. And I'd be injected with this radioactive isotope, which is supposed to attach to the cancer cells. And every time they couldn't find a primary spot. They removed the cancer from my neck, but they couldn't find the primary. Where did this cancer originate from? Well, in 2015, the cancer decided to show its ugly head again, but it came back this time with a vengeance. And all of a sudden, I noticed that when I would sing, my throat would start hurting in a few moments. Now, you're going to notice I have water up here. One of the joys of having 39 radiation treatments is it takes away all your saliva. So I do have to require putting moisture in my mouth, you'll excuse me. And so it was decided that they wanted me to do the chemotherapy, and it was these massive doses. But what had happened, they went in and they did the PET scan. It showed that I had a tumor at the very base of my throat, where your tongue kind of starts, past your gag reflex. And there was a 1-centimeter tumor that finally showed its head. And they said, listen, we want you to do this treatment. Do this treatment. And I said, no, I am going to continue fighting this holistically, and I'm going to use the power of prayer. The doctors looked at me and says, well, you can use the power of prayer. You can use holistic all you want. You're going to be dead in a few months if you do it that way. I said, well, you're entitled to your opinion. But I thought I knew what I was doing, and I said, well, you know, you can't force me to have this, can you? And they said, no, we can't make you do it, but we suggest you do it. So I didn't do anything, absolutely nothing other than prayer and changing my diet, and I changed my work habits. Now, in 2016... still fighting the cancer, and I don't know, maybe it's because I am stubborn and obstinate. Maybe germs just don't like living in my body. But I came down with what we call the common flu bug, and it took me 7 days to get over it. As I was getting over the flu bug, my wife came down with the flu bug. Same thing I had. A week later, though, she wasn't any better. In fact, she was a lot worse. And that Sunday, I said to her, I said, you know, why don't you let me take you down to the emergency room and let me get you checked out, see what's going on. And she said no. Well, again, when you're an adult, you can't force somebody to do something when they're conscious. You can't take them in. They just won't. So Monday came, and she had degraded to a point that I was going to take her if I had to handcuff her. I worked in law enforcement at this time, Solano County Sheriff's Department. I've been flying for them for 9 years, working undercover, doing black op work, we call for the DEA and the Narcotics Enforcement Task Teams, flying. And my hours would always be, you know, from 8, by the time you get to the station, early evening, and you get your briefing, then you get your aircraft, and you go do your work, you're getting home 5, 6 in the morning the next day. And we do this night after night. This is just part of the process of how they work. And so, again, I wasn't really taking good care of my body. But now I'm paying for the effects of it. Now my wife got this flu bug, and on that Monday I took her into the hospital. And I said, listen, I don't know what's going on, but something's wrong, and you need to check her out. So they checked her out. And the next thing I know, they're taking her up to CCU, the cardiac care unit. They said she's in CHF, congestive heart failure. And I said, congestive heart failure? Doesn't make sense to me. Yeah, that's what she has. I said, okay. So I went home after spending quite a few hours there at the hospital. And then the next day, I got up early in the morning, and of course, everything stopped because she was in the hospital, and I went to the hospital every single day to be with her. And then Wednesday, they moved her from the CCU down to the ICU because they decided she didn't have cardiac congestive heart failure. She had some other issues going on that they really couldn't identify. Long story short, 7 days later, on Sabbath, at 3:42 Sabbath afternoon, she passed away. Just like that. Gone. Now, you want to talk about getting... How many in here have ever watched somebody, a professional boxer, like Muhammad Ali or George Foreman fight? Anybody ever seen a fight on TV? Yeah, I have. You know, sports. I couldn't have been hit in the face harder than that news. My wife is gone? From what? Well, I found out after the fact that when they showed me the films that Sabbath morning before she'd passed, I got to know the chief on the ICU unit, and because of my cancer and things like that, I've gotten pretty good at reading film x-rays. And so he's putting up the films, and I'm saying, her lungs were filling up with fluids. And they looked at it, and they called the radiologist up, and they conferred, and they agreed with me. My wife passed away of what they call ARDS, adult respiratory distress syndrome. Her lungs filled up with fluid, and she literally drowned to death in her own fluids. And, you know, the interesting thing was is that God still was trying to get my attention. Now, I'm not saying that God brings cancer on, but sometimes he will allow things to happen in your lives so that you will turn to him. Because he says when you are at your weakest, that's when I'm at my best or strong, is when you are weak. And I had nobody to turn to. I lost both my parents, my mother just the year before that, and now my wife was gone, and I got cancer. What am I going to do? And all this time, the Lord is, Hello, David. Knock, knock, knock. David. Knock, knock, knock. I'm here. Trying to get your attention. Are you going to turn to me? Are you going to listen to me? This year, 2017, I started radiation. And I started that right at the end of December, a year ago this month. And I went, normally they do 28, maybe 30 treatments. They did 39 radiation treatments on me. I mean, I glowed at nighttime. You turn the lights off and I just glowed. And I didn't have anybody to take me to the hospital. I had nobody to feed me. I weighed at the time when I started the process, I weighed 200 and almost 30 pounds. By the time I was done with cancer, I was down to 145 pounds. I lost 80 pounds in 2.5 months. 80 pounds. Praise God, I'm not up to 220, but I'm not 145. I'm about almost 160 now. And my goal is, with God's help, to get up to about 185 pounds so that I can rebuild this body that he's given me to do his business. But the interesting thing is that I did 39 treatments of radiation, and the good Lord saw to it that he gave me the strength, he gave me the courage, and he gave me some peace that only you can have by spending time with Jesus Christ. It only comes that way. You can't get it any other way. You can't ask for somebody to give it to you. You can't purchase it. It is spending time on your knees, and it's spending time in his word. And you know what? There's been a lot of godly saints that have gone to sleep that love the Lord, that spend a lot of time on their knees and ask God to heal them. And for whatever reason, they still passed away from cancer. So you might ask, well, why did God save you and not brother or sister so-and-so? I can't answer that question. But I can tell you this. I'd gone to a men's retreat up at Leone Meadows, which is like your Pine Springs Ranch down here, but for us in Northern California. And I'd gone to them for years and years, but on this particular one, the Lord and I connected. And on the drive home by myself, I told the Lord, I said, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I don't care if it's digging a ditch, cleaning a toilet, I'll do it with a smile on my face, and I will do it like it's never been done before for you, Lord, because that's what you've asked me to do. Trust in you like a child. You know, when you have a newborn baby and the baby is learning to walk, especially after they're crawling, you know, when they got four-wheel drive, they can go over anything and through anything and over anything when they got four-wheel drive. When that baby starts to start walking around, the baby's taking its step, you know, and he's trying to walk. And what does a parent do? The parent puts himself in a position so that he can or she can watch the baby and assist the baby from falling. Jesus Christ wants each one of us to put ourselves like a child in a position so that we will be relying on him to keep us from falling. Because in Matthew 5, verse 48, the Bible says, be ye therefore perfect, even as your heavenly Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Now, a lot of people, oh, that's a pretty heavy statement, Dave. Well, it's a true statement. And I believe, in fact, I know it's not believe, I know in my heart, not because of what I do, it's because of what Jesus is doing. It's Jesus who has the power. It's Jesus' righteousness that is working in me to do the will of him, and therefore he can present you and me before his heavenly Father faultless. Not because we're doing it, because we can't do anything of ourselves. Our very best is filthy rags, the Bible tells us. So I told God, I said, look, Lord, I'm going to do these things, whatever you ask me to do. And I continued my drive home, and I thought, well, okay, we'll see what happens. So many of us have had prayers like that, I believe. Okay, Lord, show me what you want me to do. Wow, was I surprised when things started going down. All of a sudden, I'm getting calls to serve and be on different committees. I'm getting calls to go preach. Now, I'm a singer. I don't have a problem standing up and singing in front of you all, but to speak, I'm as nervous as I don't even know what analogy to use. Fleas not having a dog to jump on and itch. I'm nervous. But through Jesus, he's given me his strength and his power and his ability. I'd like to take a moment here and sing a song for you that goes along with this. It's called Going Home. Many times in my childhood, when we traveled so far, by nightfall, how weary I'd grow. Father's arms would slip around me, and gently he'd say, my child, we are going home. Going home, I am going home. There is nothing to hold me here. I've caught a glimpse of that heavenly land. Praise God, I am going. Now the twilight is fading, the day soon shall end. Lord, I get homesick, the farther I roam. Oh, but the Father, he has led me each step of the way, and now I am going home, going home. I am going home. There is nothing to hold me here. I've caught a glimpse of that heavenly land. Praise God. very soon Jesus is coming to take us home. And I can't say for me and my household, because my household is me, myself, and I. But for myself, I've made that decision that I want to go home with Jesus. So, with that in mind, my cancer, I went to the treatment, and it metastasized in the lungs, and they said, you know what, you got maybe 2 or 3 weeks left. Both my sisters came up from Southern California here to visit me, because that was the last time we were going to see each other. Oh, mercy, I even get emotional about it right now. God is so good. They did one more PET scan on me because they wanted to, for their records, to have the progression of this patient so that they could use it in their studies. And my PET scans had been consistent. Cancer was there, metastasized. Now we can't do anything. So they called me in for this appointment, and not only was my oncologist there, it was there. I had a cardiologist there. I had a social worker there. I had every person you could imagine from a hospital there in that room with me. This is the caveat, though, how God works. Now, the doctor is a wonderful doctor. I love the man. But he didn't take the time to look at the PET scan prior to me coming in. So I'm coming in, and I'm going to be told, you have X amount of days left. He pulls up the PET scan on the computer, and lo and behold, there was not any cancer in my body. Not even in my throat, not in my lungs, not in my head, nothing. To the point that the doctor said, we must have the wrong film here. Let's call radiology up and let's make sure we have the right films. You sure you got the right medical record number on this patient? Yeah, yeah, blah, blah, blah. Bottom line was, there was no cancer. So they started scratching their heads going, well, we've never had this happen because it was eating your flesh up from the inside. And we have film of all the scar tissue inside my throat. I had lost my voice. I couldn't speak. I couldn't sing. I lost my voice. That was a heartbreak for me when I couldn't sing anymore. And they were telling me, we're going to have to put a feeding tube into your stomach. And once we do that, you'll be on that for the rest of your life. That's how you're going to feed yourself. Because I had these terrible blisters in my throat. And I said, Lord, you know, sometimes we try to bargain with God. Okay, God, if you'll do this for me, I'll do this for you. Uh-uh. You just got to say, okay, Lord, I can't do anything. It's all you. Whatever you decide to do for me, if you decide to do something, it's going to be okay. And if it's not, if you decide not to heal me, that's okay too. That's when things changed. I couldn't eat food. I lost all sense of smell, all sense of taste. Even to this day, most of the food that I eat, to me, tastes like cardboard. I don't have saliva, so eating makes it difficult because you don't realize your mouth provides fluid. When you put food in there, it starts breaking it down with your saliva. And when you don't have that saliva, it makes it real difficult. And then for especially cancer patients of the head and neck, swallowing becomes an issue. And then the radiation destroys all your muscles for your opening and closing of your mouth. It also takes out your thyroid. It also takes out I call it a regulator in your neck. And what it really does, basically, it controls your blood pressure. So if you're laying down and you go to sit up or stand up, it will tell your body, hey, this person's going to be getting up. Let's increase their blood pressure so that they don't pass out. It took all those things away from me. Have I had some difficulties since the cancer was removed? You bet I have. Passed out 3 different times. Didn't even know I was passed out until I woke up. But you know what? I don't have cancer. And God has been using me. Now let's get to the praise part of this. I was coming home from my church Sabbath afternoon. And at our church, we enjoy spending time with the Lord. And we're there until usually sundown. And I had a very busy Sabbath, and I was on my way home. And it takes me about 30 minutes to get home. And I was pulled into my parking spot, and I was in my suit here. And I grabbed my Bible, and I'm walking to my apartment. Now, where I live, there's a Y in the sidewalk. If you go to the left, you go to my house. If you go to the right, you go somewhere else. And I'm walking, and I'm really tired, and I'm talking to the Lord. And I'm saying, Lord, oh, thank you for this day. I'm so glad to be home. Now, we've heard stories, and I'm sure you've read stories, where people have said God has spoken to them. Well, I'm here to testify today that God does speak to you in a very real way. Because I was walking, and I'm saying, Lord, I can't wait to get out of this suit and get into something comfortable and get out of my church shoes. Oh, boy, just be comfortable. And the Lord said, you can't go home. I turned around like, who's talking to me? I started walking again. David, do not go home. As clear as that. And then I realized it was the Lord. And I said, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? He says, I want you to go to the right. And I said, but Lord, I don't live to the right. I live to the left. He said, do you remember that promise you made to me that you would go anywhere I told you to go whenever I asked you to go? And I said, yes, Lord. He said, I'm asking you now to go. I said, to do what? Trust me. Just trust me. So I started walking. Now, I got to tell you, I'd like to say I just boldly walked right down that sidewalk. No, I didn't. I was taking really small, slow, deliberate steps because I was scared to death. God had spoken to me. What's going to go down next? I passed one door, passed another door, came to the third door. Lord says, stop. Turn to your right. I turned to my right. Go to that door on the left. I said, Lord, but I don't know anybody there. They're going to think I'm nuts. Go to that door and knock on the door. I went to the door. Instead of a nice loud knock, I did a real soft knock, you know, kind of hoping, okay, Lord, I knocked, but nobody's going to answer the door because they couldn't hear it, you know. They heard it. Next thing I hear is the deadbolt. Door opens up, and there's this woman, a black woman. I said, ma'am, I said, I know you don't know me, but the Lord has brought me here because he told me that somebody needed prayer. And as soon as I mentioned the word prayer, she started crying. And she shared with me that she had been crying out to the Lord for the last week and a half that somebody would come to her home and pray with her and her 94-year-old father. So I went inside, and I had my Bible, and I'm not a pastor. I'm just an ordinary person. So I'm thinking, what am I supposed to say? The Lord tells us that He will give us the words to say at the right time if you trust in Him. So I sat down and I listened to them, listened to what they had to say. The Lord gave me some Bible verses. And I'm kind of, if you will, there, but also stepping aside of myself and kind of looking at myself like, whoa, this is amazing. I didn't know that I knew this. I didn't know it, but God did. And He used me and ended up praying with the family, and I ended up giving them the book Steps to Christ. Subsequently, I've been going to that home and visiting and praying with them. He had, and he has still to this day, a very severe case of dementia. But according to their family, every time that I come and I pray with him, God gives the family peace and his dementia stops for a week or more. And so word got spread out through the community. Hey, if you got a problem, you need to call on this man over here. He serves a God that answers prayer. There's nothing special about me. But Jesus Christ is special, and he can do all things. So I end up getting calls, and more calls, to the point that I was invited by a chaplain to go out and make calls. And now I've been in a program where I'll be finishing up my chaplaincy program at the end of January, and I'll be ordained as a chaplain and be going out working full-time in God's ministry as a chaplain. That's just one story. There are many other stories. God is such a good God, and He listens to us. One of the things that I did, God told me, He said, David, I know you're by yourself and you get lonely at times, but I'm all you're going to need. So I want you to take that cable box and all the associated hardware, and I want you to return it back to your cable company. Whoa, you're asking me to give up my TV? Yep, I'm asking you to give up the TV. That was a big step. I found out, though, after I gave up the TV, and it's now been almost 3 months, I don't miss the TV at all. I just don't. I have internet service, but I use that to listen to sermons and other churches. And I spend my time writing sermons and studying my Bible. And every single day, the Lord provides me with a divine appointment. Not just one, not just two, sometimes as many as five or more. Whether it's handing out the great controversy, handing out a tract, stopping and praying with somebody. I was at the hospital very recently. I have to still go every month because the doctors still do not believe that God healed me. And so they're just waiting for the cancer to come back. And every time I come in, they want to scope me. Now, those of you that have been scoped, you know that's not a very pleasant experience. But they want to see. And every time they look, they say things like, we've never seen anything like this before. There's no scar damage. There's no scar tissue anymore. It's just gone. It's like you never had cancer. And you know what? I said, you don't know the God that I serve. Let me tell you about him. And I started sharing with the hospital staff to the point now that the cancer's part of UC Davis Medical Center has asked me to work with all their cancer patients as a spiritual advisor, quote unquote, because they said, you have something different about you. I say, it's Jesus Christ. I went to the dentist, and I've been blessed with having good teeth, but I had three little minor cavities. They weren't even really called cavities, but he said, these problems you're having in your mouth is caused by you brushing your teeth too hard, believe it or not. I never knew you could brush your teeth too hard, but I guess you can. And I said to the doctor, I said, well, how much is it going to take to fix it? And he said, it's going to be this amount of money. And I said, well, I don't have that amount. I only have this amount of money. So if you can do it for this amount of money, we can get it done. He says, well, you need to go up to the business office and talk with them. God, once again, wanted his glory to be shown. So I went up to the business office, and there was a lot of people in the office, and the one person that made the decision whether they were going to reduce the price said, well, what's your reason for doing it? And I said, well, I had stage 4 cancer. And she said, well, what did you do? What did you do to get rid of it? And I knew that God was waiting to see what my response was going to be. And I said, I didn't do anything. It was Jesus Christ, the God Almighty, Jehovah, the great I am, who came down and touched my body. And when I said that, there was a black lady that worked in there, and she jumped up out of her chair at her desk and goes, glory, hallelujah. And all of her co-workers just looked at her and like, whoa. We are to be seed planters. We are to share the love of Jesus. It is not our job to convict them, but it is our job to live the life that Jesus lived. That is our job. Bring it even closer to home. I have I have a daughter who's finished her college and I don't even want to tell you how old she is because that will tell you how old I am. But nevertheless, she's old. Well, she thinks she is. And she's my only girl, and I have a son, an older son. And we put her through all of the church schools and academy and all that stuff. And she never once would do Bible studies or get baptized. And she came to my house and said, Dad, would you give me Bible studies? I want to get baptized. And I said, Heather, what changed? I've been trying to get you to be baptized for years and years and years. She says, I know, Dad. Can I be honest with you? And I said, yeah, I'm your dad. Please, be honest with me. She says, it wasn't what you were saying. She says, but when I saw how you were living your life, that's what made the difference. That's what made her change to follow Jesus Christ. See, it doesn't matter what comes out of our mouths. If our bodies, if our lifestyle does not reflect the character of the one who died for us on the Calvary, then I'll say it as plain as I can. You're wasting your time because, you know, there's a song. You can't make it to heaven by singing in the choir or going to church. You can't make it by paying tithe. That's all the material, really. It's having the relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus is the answer. He's the only answer. Well, I could go on and on. Excuse me. It's like having glue in your mouth. You talk, and then all of a sudden, there's no more in there to make it moist. So we're in the process right now of getting my daughter through using Amazing Facts Bible studies and studying with her, getting her ready for baptism. And now we're getting her young son and daughter doing things, and she's going back to church, taking the kids with her to church, and she's asked me to baptize her. I don't know what a greater thrill a father can have than to be able to baptize his own daughter. And I just want to encourage every one of you that, you know, in Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. In fact, let's go there for a moment. Genesis 17, chapter 17, verse 1. And when you get there, just give me an amen. Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. And it says, and I'm reading out of the King James Prophecy Study Edition. This is from King James Version, Amazing Facts Bible. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Now you see, we read in Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, the same thing. God said, be therefore perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect, which is in heaven. In the New Testament, but he also told us back in the beginning of Genesis the same thing. Be therefore perfect to Abram. Now, Abram was 99 years old. Now, let me just share this with you. Some of you here are 50, 60, 70, 80 years old, and you think you're around because you got good genetics. You're not still around because you got good genetics. You're around because you got a good God. That's why. And God is keeping you around because he's waiting for you to humble yourself and walk before him like a child and not be afraid to stumble and fall, because your heavenly Father is the one who's going to perfect you through his righteous character, through his righteous power, to bring you to the point so that if he wants to present you before his Father, you will be perfect, because it's his perfect character that you're reflecting. And if you submit yourselves to him, if you're called to glory, then the only thing you can reveal is glory. So you see, we can, and I believe there will be many of us, will be perfect before Jesus comes. Not because we're doing it, but because of what Jesus Christ is doing in us and through us. And I'd just like to close this afternoon's program, because I've kept you guys longer than I would have liked to, but I'd like to close it with a song that I think it's, if you listen to the words, it's me. It's my journey. And it's entitled, I'll Tell It Wherever I Go. It's done, the song was made well known by the Gaither Vocal Band. But when I heard the words, I said, I just have to do this song. I'll Tell It Wherever I Go. Let's do track 4. I'll tell of my Savior, I'll tell of his favor, I'll tell it, Lord, wherever I go. I'll count every blessing, I'll go on confessing, I'll tell it, Lord, wherever I go. What He is to you, maybe you cannot see, but this thing I know, He's everything to me, 'cause He'll be there. Then go where He's prepared, I'll tell it, Lord, wherever I go. And if I were dying with just one word to say, I'd speak of my Jesus and breathe my life away, 'cause He'll be there, meet me there, then go prepared, I'll tell it, Lord, wherever I go. Thank you very much. I hope you were blessed. If you have any questions about anything, you can ask me after, but I don't want to keep any longer. I know I've kept you here for over an hour, and I thank you so much for your time. May you be blessed. May the Lord richly fill your lives with His mercy, His joy, and His peace. Yes, Harold. And, okay, and I will offer a word of prayer. Let's bow our head. Oh, Harold? Sherry Lynn is my sister here, my beautiful older sister. I'm the baby. That's Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters. That's what God can do. How many of you people have heard the name Danny Vera? Well, Danny is probably has less than a week left to live. That's right. He has cancer. And here's a man who's devoted his entire life to serving the Lord, eating properly, teaching the health principles, and yet he got cancer. I can't explain to you why. People have been praying for him. People have been lifting up. He's been anointed. But I do know this. God has for each one of you a purpose and a job for you to do for Him, so that you can reveal, again, His glory, His purpose in your life to others. And I'm not saying that if you die from cancer that you're not living that way, but I have enough faith to know now, because God tells me in His Word He gave us enough faith in the very beginning to accomplish that which He started in us. And The wonderful thing about having a relationship with Jesus is that whether you come down with cancer or any other disease, or you're involved in a car wreck and it takes your life, if you have the relationship with Jesus Christ, because he promises us that he's coming back to take us home, and if you have that personal relationship, you don't have to worry what happens now, because in a twinkling of an eye, he'll be coming back, and he'll be calling those that went to sleep in the Lord first out of the graves with perfect bodies. And I just want you to try to remember the Vieira family in your prayers, because they're going through a lot right now. And his wife is part of our church family, and I know them very intimately as an elder. And I prayed with them, and I've been out there, and I know that a lot of people know of him and his ministry, and I just ask that you would ask God to remember and pray for them, that they would have peace during this time that they're going through. Why don't we all just stand as I offer a closing prayer? Our most kind and gracious, wonderful Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this Sabbath day most of all. I thank you, Lord, for this high Sabbath, for being able to be down here in San Diego and being able to share through music and through your word, Lord, the goodness that you have been doing and working in my life, Lord. And Father, I thank you for each member that's here today at the Fallbrook Church. Lord, I ask that you would bless each one, Father. Father, that you would anoint them and put a fire in their hearts, Lord, that they've never experienced before, that they will get that love relationship with you, Lord, so that they will be out doing their Father's business. And that, Lord, is in all forms, and I know that. Father, please bless each one. I ask that you'd also, Father, be with those that are fighting different forms of disease, everything from cancer to myofibrosis and all the other forms that we have out there, diabetes and so on and so forth. Lord, there are so many, and Satan is just going out trying to do what he can, but he knows his time is short. And so, Lord, we just ask and pray that through our lives, no matter what we do, Father God, that we will glorify you by what we say, but more importantly, by what we do, that we will reflect the one who came and paid the ultimate price on Calvary, so that we, through him, might have eternal life, if we will only invite you into our hearts and into our lives, is my prayer this day. Again, we thank you, Father, for hearing. We thank you for already answering these prayers, Lord. Please give everyone traveling mercies as they go to their different locations, Father, that you'll send your angels to encamp around about them and protect them, Father, because we know the time is short. And Father, you just brought into my mind, Lord, there are going to be soon even children in this own church, Lord, that will be taken. There'll be, Satan will take them. Give the parents the strength and the courage to stand firm, Lord, because your servant, Sister White, tells us that in the last days that things like this will go down, and we do not want to lose our faith because we did not spend the time in knowing you and knowing your word. So be with us now, Lord. Guide and direct us in all things. We praise your name, in Jesus' name, and the church said, amen.